I'm going to continue where we left off last month on moving forward in 2016, some prophetic revelation for this year. We ended with the statement that the currency of the house is to know who he is. So the currency of any body of Christ, the currency of the throne room of God is to know who Jesus is. And so if you need something, you need to understand who he is. So we looked at several aspects of things that were going to be happening this year. We saw a mighty release of angels in here last night. We've seen releases of angels when we've been traveling in Southeast Asia. Expect to see greater increase in release of angelic participation in the things that you have to deal with this year and next year and the next year and the next year, because we're not doing it by ourselves. About 9 months ago, the Lord released a huge principality over Rochester. Principality in this case being a good angel. And he is clothed in rainbows. And his name is Promise. That's an angel that the Lord has released over Rochester. Rochester has many promises that have yet to be fulfilled. And we're the people that are going to get to see them fulfilled, not only in our generation, but in the next 2 and 3 generations. Some things we should be looking for this year is changes in government. And everyone says, well, that's rather obvious. Since Rosh Hashanah, last September, governments around the world have been changing. People who were not expected to win have been placed into office by votes or however it was they got there. I believe it was the hand of God, whether they were righteous people or not. We should be believing God for his person to be in authority over us. What does his person look like? I haven't got a clue. But I've got some guidelines. Are they filled with righteousness, peace, and joy, and move in the power of the Holy Spirit? That would qualify to be his person, wouldn't it? Isn't that what the kingdom of God is? Do they bow their knee and honor him? That would qualify. Cyrus was not saved, but Cyrus rebuilt Jerusalem. Remember that story? We either need a righteous, born-again man or woman in every position of leadership and authority, not just in the government, but that's what we're talking about right now, but in education, in business, in arts and entertainment, in media, in the family, and in the religion mountains. Is it possible to be in the religion mountain and not be saved?
Yes,
because Christianity is about that much, the size of my little fingernail of the religion mountain. Included in the religion mountain are Satanism, Buddhism, Hinduism, every ism you can possibly think of, including agnosticism and atheism. Everybody worships something, even those who say they don't worship. That's all part of the religion mountain. So we should be asking the Lord for righteous leaders in the religion mountain too. But when we look for leaders in our government, we should be asking him to place his candidate, because the scripture says that the heart of the king is like a water course in the hand of the Lord. He directs it wherever he pleases. So we want someone who is sensitive to the Spirit of God. We don't have that in many of our political offices today. But there's some good news. One person in the U.S. Congress several years ago started praying, and then he invited one of his fellow Congress people to come join him, and then they invited some senators. Now there's 100 people who pray every week, our elected officials. You won't hear this in the media. I met a couple of them last January down in Pennsylvania when we were interceding for the Republican retreat. And they came to the intercessory room and we got to pray over them and minister to them. It's happening in local governments and state governments and in our federal government. Expect changes in government. But more than that, expect to see Isaiah 9:7 fulfilled. Isaiah 9:7 says, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. His government's increase is not going to end. Who lives in you? The Spirit of God, the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Which means everywhere you go, when his government increased last Saturday night, right? Because someone else opened their heart to Jesus. The more we do what Jesus asked us to do, the more we witness, the more we make ourselves available to pray for someone and Holy Spirit touches them and they say, what must I do to be saved? You know where the most radical transformations are taking place right now? Syria, Iraq, Iran, the Muslim nations. Jesus is showing up. Holy Spirit is manifesting his glory in their midst and they are bowing their knee, renouncing their idolatry and confessing Jesus Christ and starting house churches. You know what happens when you start a house church there? You may end up not waking up in the morning. They love not their lives unto the death, but his government is increasing in the earth. We should get excited about speaking the word of God because he will perform his word. He doesn't want it returning to him void. Well, I'm going to maybe speak at work today. Maybe. Well, maybe I won't. We have to speak his word. When you speak his word, it's out there over everything that you do. You have the ability, even find it in the book of Job, to command the morning to line up with his word. How many of you are tired of getting blindsided throughout the day? When you exercise your governmental authority and speak his word into your day every morning, so literally I do that. You can ask Casey. There's this madman in our living room. Well, that's after I'm done. That's to wake the mice up. I ask him what he wants spoken over my day. And then I speak it over the day. Because when you do that, it's like Jesus saying to Peter, come. Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the word of the Lord to go to him. When I speak the word of the Lord, it opens a door for me to walk through for the rest of that day. It may be an appointment that I've got. It may be someone that he wants me to pray for. Whatever it is that he puts on my heart, I speak that over my day. Because we attract his promises to his word that we speak. He loves his word. Remember, his word lives in you. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. Remember that? He loves his word. There's going to be an emergence of people this year, and we're already beginning to see it, who are going to be strong in their identity as his ambassadors in the earth. They will not compromise. They're not going to go in and say, well, maybe I'll speak today. They're already going to know what they're going to speak, and they're just waiting for him to say, here's the person to speak it to, or that's the one to speak it to. We have some friends at the San Diego Revival right now. It's been going on for 2 months. They're getting ready to carry back the anointing that they got to Australia. And our friends aren't going to sit there like this. I wonder who we should give it to. Don't get me going, fan. Don't get me going, boy. Yeah. He and I have this. Yeah. We've got to be so ready to take him where we go that we're not ashamed of him. There's a group of kingdom governmental believers emerging this year who are going to carry Christ boldly everywhere they go. Most of them are in the back row. Well, they're awake now. They all looked to see if anyone was behind them. They said, "We need a volunteer," and I looked around me, and all my friends had stepped one step back, and there I was. Yes, you. Altars are going to be rebuilt this year. Reestablish your own altar. Reestablish your family altar. Reestablish an altar of corporate worship. That's what happened last night. It wasn't just the people in the room, but the Lord did something to the body of Christ in the region last night. It was awesome. And because you carry governmental authority in the word you speak, and that's part of what this month Adar is all about, watch your tongue. A judgmental and critical spirit will not turn things around. If you haven't been watching the news, that's all we've seen. It will not turn things around. Someone speaking truth and love will turn things around. Why not Rochester? Why not now? Why not us? We are the government of God. God spoke to Israel. Do you remember that Old Testament picture? There were angels looking down over the mercy seat. He didn't speak from the judgment seat. He always speaks from the mercy seat. And so if we're his ambassadors, we can't be speaking judgment. We need to be speaking mercy. We need to be speaking this year the things that bring the power of his presence to bear. My indignation, righteous or otherwise, doesn't make righteous justice. It just makes filthy rags. But mercy will turn things around. See, it doesn't matter who's in City Hall. It doesn't matter who's in Albany. And by the way, the governor's mansion is empty. That's another whole story. It doesn't matter who's in the Capitol building. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It matters who's in the church house. What matters is, as the body of Christ goes, so goes the nation represented by that body. Where does judgment begin? The house of the Lord. If he speaks from the mercy seat and we're not listening, guess what's going to happen? If the senator and the president who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I might relent. And that's not what it says. If my people, if the body of Christ calls by my name, humbles themselves and prays and seeks my face, we have a great opportunity to influence the government of every one of the mountains. Because we work in all of them. We pay taxes, which gives us eternal authority in our governments, local, state, and federal. That's another whole topic. So, as you're watching the nightly news, it takes faith to believe beyond the junk. I believe God is in control. I believe he's not done with this nation. I am not a doom and gloom prophet. I don't believe that we're going to fry and die. I believe that the best for the United States of America is yet ahead. I believe that the best for all of North America is yet ahead. I believe that the continents are being reformed in his image and likeness, because everywhere we go, we're seeing pools of believers beginning to think this is more important than Confucius or any other teacher. They're starting to believe the teacher, Jesus Christ. Yes. See, once I can see beyond the junk, I can believe for the good in people and for Father's redemptive purpose in their life. When we were teaching on prophecy in Vietnam, a lot of people were expecting to... You know what that is? That's getting fried because the prophet sees right through you. And sometimes we would turn off the mic and we would just say, we're going to just speak to this person, and we would just tell them what we saw so they could repent. But God loves us so much that he's not going to expose our stuff. He's going to say, here's what's out there for you. Come get in the boat with me. Here's the promises I've written about you. Come embrace my way. That's the way we need to represent him, not the tsh. Steve and Jess live in a log house, so it has lots of bugs. And our son-in-law is a gadget guy. He's got these boxes that are about that wide and about that tall. And they have a UV light, but in order to get to the UV light, you got to go through these electrical grids, and all night you're... And you wake up in the morning and there's piles of bugs. But that's the way some Christians are when they get a revelation from God. Instead of using the word of knowledge to open the door for healing and deliverance, they use it to be controlled by the accuser of the brethren and bring further division to the body. We've got to see beyond the junk and believe that God has a redemptive person for every man, woman, and child on the earth. Will they all get saved? I hope so. But I'm not living in la-la land either. But if he gives me a word, we were staying in one city in Malaysia, and they said the prime minister who's over the country and the chief minister who's over the state are going to be in town for, it was the last day of the Chinese New Year. They were actually buying votes. They put up a big, huge fireworks display. It's an election year. There are elections next month. Yes, their government's about to change too. And they said, oh, and they're staying in your hotel. And I said, good. Well, what are you going to do? And I said, nothing unless the Lord brings him across my path. And if the Lord brings him across my path, he's already given me a word for him. He didn't. They switched hotels. I think that was wisdom. We stayed in our hotel. It had some needs. It was nice, but it had some needs. But we need to be ready to speak his word in season. You are prophetic people because Christ is in you and you carry the testimony of Jesus. You have the spirit of prophecy and he can speak to you anytime, because if you won't speak, he may use that donkey standing next to you. And then you'll really feel bad that the donkey got to speak to the governor and not you. We have to deal with compromise in the body of Christ this year. Yes. The body of Christ has compromised herself into a corner. See, the greatest enemy of the church is humanism. The prophet says that the great end time battle will be the sons of Greece against the sons of Israel. Humanism versus the Hebraic heart of God. And the body of Christ has to deal with that this year because we've been compromising. That doesn't mean we have to be rude or crude. It just means that we have to speak the truth in love. And we have to learn to say no. In 1 Kings 18, we see that a nation without righteous leadership turned away from the Lord, And there was great admixture with idolatry. That's where the body of Christ is in most of first world nations, including the United States. I had someone overseas said, I hear that 85% of the United States of America is Christian. And I said, where did you hear that? And they said, well, that's what they tell us. And I said, I don't even think 85% is churched. But being church doesn't mean we're Christian. Christianity is the only religion in the world that requires a relationship with the Most High God. The only one. And unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit and serving the Father, you can go to church all you want. Those tags will not be on you when you go to your final destination. See, what's happening right now and what's happening out in San Diego is this year we're going to see more and more power demonstrations that are really confrontations of two governments, the government of darkness and the government of God. Two nights ago, the Holy Spirit just poured out oil all over people that were in these meetings, and my friends got a video camera. He sent me the video, and oil is just pouring out of his palms. Holy oil. Just because God decided he wanted to anoint them with his presence. People are coming and getting healed, just like in other revivals. The thing is when revival hits, we've got to get out of the way so that we don't stop it. That's what stopped the Finney revival in the 1830s, was the human spirit got in the way of the Holy Spirit, and we started setting religious boundaries about what can and cannot happen. Remember, we started the service by saying it's time to stop putting God in a box and let him be God. If he wants to raise the dead, let him raise the dead. If he wants to use you to do it, praise him all the more. If he wants to give you a gift of miraculous healings, let him give you the gift of miraculous healings. This is a time of power encounters. Expect for him to do miraculous things through you. When we were in Vietnam, we got to go to a four-hour prayer meeting, and at the end of the 4 hours, we got to prophesy over every one of the intercessors. So that meeting lasted a long time. And it was... After a while, Casey and I got pretty quick about it. We just decided that unless the Lord really highlighted someone, we're just going to pray a blessing over them. And I had I'd say she was probably in her early 20s, was my interpreter, a young lady. And I didn't take prayer requests, but this one lady just said something to my interpreter before I got there, and she said she want you to pray for her feet, and she was having trouble standing and having trouble walking. And I said, okay. So I got down on my knees like this, and my interpreter gets down next to me, and I put my hands on the woman's feet. And if you're one of our intercessors, you know where I'm going. And I'm just talking to this young lady, and we're carrying on a conversation. Oh, it's good to see that Than is finally sound asleep, and he's comfortable there. Oh, do you know that sometimes Jesus didn't pray at all? He just laid his hands on. I'm just having this conversation with this young lady, and sometimes he just lays his hand on, and I'm feeling her bones move in her feet. I'm just laying on hands, because Jesus said, lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. All of a sudden, my head is getting wet. There's not a lot of hair there to keep it dry. Because she's weeping, and the interpreter is looking up and listening to me talk, and the Lord is healing this woman's feet, and she's doing a little happy dance. And we get up, and she got healed, and she got educated. Don't put God in a box. Let him be God. When she left that morning, we went from there to go pray over a media mountain. The owner of a media company, newspapers, who is applying for the first Christian television station in Vietnam, asked us to come pray over their offices. We get to do all kinds of fun stuff. But this interpreter came up to me and said, I've never seen that before. See, when you allow God to use you, someone's faith is going to be built. Two people's faith were built in this, the woman who was healed and the woman who had never seen the Lord heal like that before. See, 1 Kings 18, if you recall, is all about Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth. In verse 30, Elijah did not call for power. He called for the rebuilding of the altar at the appropriate time. See, there was a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. If you want to move in the authority of heaven, you have to know the timing of heaven. There's an evening sacrifice and a morning sacrifice. The prophets of Baal gashed themselves, did all of the stuff they knew to do to get their no-God demons to move, and they didn't move. But the first thing Elijah did was rebuild the altar of the Lord and prepared the evening sacrifice. We need to rebuild altars in our own lives if we want to see the Lord doing signs, wonders, and miracles. It's a place, an altar is a place of devotion, a place of worship, a place of offering, and a place of sacrifice. It's where we dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We sacrifice our will for His, and then we get the fun part of being His vessel. The Lord says that the altar in my people's heart has been torn down. That's what's happened in the body of Christ, is the altar in most believers' heart has been torn down, and the little foxes, the distractions of the morning, tear down the altar of God in your heart. It is so easy, I'm guilty, it is so easy to see one more thing that needs to be done. One more change to my schedule that I don't turn aside like Moses did to take time in the presence of the burning bush. The Lord wants to meet with you. If you have a time, I've been forcing myself the last few mornings to, at the end of my prayer time, you know, like, God do this, God do this, thank you for Israel, blah, 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 to get down on my knees and ask Him to speak to my heart. I ask Father, I ask Jesus, and I ask Holy Spirit to speak, and I just sit there and listen. And that's where He tells me what I need to know for the day. It's 5 or 10 minutes. Sometimes it turns into a half hour because I don't want to get up because it's really good. That's when He's just loving on me. See, what you do should flow out of who you are in Christ. If we are the government of God and we've repaired our altars, then everything I do in the day should flow out of who He has made me to be and not some role model that I learned about in Sunday school or something that the world says I need to be successful. See, when you say yes to God, you can stand back and watch what He'll do, like the woman that got healed. Like people that were getting healed when we prayed for them. Not long, drawn-out prayers, just quick prayers because you got an interpreter. And most of the time, they don't understand my vocabulary. I can't understand that. I've learned that I have to have at least 7 words for a big word. And then sometimes I just have to move on. Family altars have to be rebuilt too. The body of Christ in the United States has sacrificed the family altar for convenience, for keeping up with the Smiths and the Joneses and whoever else. And we've lost a whole generation. Back row, dedicate your heart to Christ. 80% of your generation leaves Christ behind when they go to college. That's not a good statistic. I repent that we didn't prepare you for the onslaught that you were going to have. Rebuild your altars. Purpose in your heart what your family altar is going to look like down the road when you have families. I'm speaking from experience. I'm watching the next generation do it. It's one of the things I like about Ron and Valerie. They're doing this with their kids. It's not just their God. It's our family's God. They're introducing Jesus so that they can easily embrace the King of Kings. See, where there's divine order, there's divine glory. We all want the glory, but you can't have glory without order. It's unbiblical to expect God's glory without his order. That's what the Passover, the Pentecost, and Tabernacles is all about. It's all about the order of the tabernacle. It's all about going through the outer court because now I've got the blood of the Lamb on me. It's about going into the place where now I can learn about who he is. That's what Pentecost is all about. Torah means the revelation or teaching of God. It doesn't mean the law. So that ultimately I can get to tabernacles, which is the manifest glory of the Lord. I can get to that place. See, you are the Holy of Holies. If Christ dwells in you, the one who is seated on the throne, the one who makes the Holy of Holies holy is dwelling in you. When the altar was repaired in 1 Kings 18, that's when things began to happen. That's when all of a sudden heaven was manifest on earth with fire. Maybe sometime later this spring I'll teach on fire. Psalm 1 verse 1 tells us that we day and night and evening and morning we need to be in the word of the Lord. We need to be meditating on him. We need to be thinking about him. Do you know that for the average Christian in the United States, less than 60 minutes out of 168 hours is spent thinking about the Lord every week? I hope you're all above average. We can pretend this is Lake Wobegon, right? Where all the children are above average. Well, we're all the children of God, and Lord, we purpose to be above average. In 2016, there will be increased manifestations of blessing for those who will stand on the Word of God and believe it. It is getting harder and harder to do that, but this will never let you down. I don't care who's in our elected offices, they will let us down. We got let down this week by our state senator, or at least by his aide who said he'd have him call us back. Good thing I'm not holding my breath. But Father will never let us down. If it's in his word, you can believe it. If it's a verified prophecy that's been confirmed by his word in your leadership, you can believe it. That's why I'm choosing to believe that Casey's stepfather, Ron, is in heaven. Whether I saw it with my own eyes or not, I know that God spoke it, and he's faithful to do what he says he will do. Proverbs 16:20 says, "He who deals wisely and heeds God's word and counsel shall find good. And whoever leans on, trusts in, and is confident in the Lord, happy, blessed, and fortunate is he." If you want to be happy, you want to be blessed, and you want to move in good fortune, all you got to do is trust and rely on and lean on this. That's basically been our testimony since 1982. Divine order comes out of an encounter with the glory. We encountered the glory last night, and he reordered some things in the corporate body. We literally, just out of a prophetic song that came, began moving in the fulfillment of a prophetic word that was released over Rochester by Chuck Pierce last June. Shifting and rearranging the corporate body in this region. Order without an encounter with glory is legalism. And that's what we see in far too many local churches. We see order without an encounter with glory. There was actually a tongue last night in the service. And the Lord told me there were five interpretations. And all five of them came. And if you were there, you heard me say, and there's three more, and there's two more, and there's one more, because I knew I had the fifth one. See, most churches don't want tongues because they can't control it. What if no one has the interpretation? So what? What if the person with the interpretation is so young in their gift of interpretation that they were afraid and they came up afterwards with it on a slip of paper? Guess what? In today's day and age, you can send it out on an email and say, hey, I think this was the valid interpretation of that tongue. Do you know what brings the manifestation of his glory? Inviting his presence. What has stopped the manifestation of his presence in the past has been people who do not want to deal with the uncontrollable things of the Holy Spirit, like tongues, like prophecy. See, when the gifts came in 1 Corinthians 12 and prophecy was talked about in 1 Corinthians 14, God gave us all of the instructions on how to operate in both in 1 Corinthians 13, love. Which means this is a safe place to practice your gifts. This is the place we practice so that when he speaks to me on the subway or the bus, or he speaks to me in my boss's office and gives me a word of knowledge, I know I hear his voice, and even though my heart may be doing this, I can speak that word to the person he gave it for and see him touch their lives. Father wants to invade the seven mountains. He wants to touch every culture on the earth and every aspect of each culture on the earth with salt and light of his presence. But he's only going to do that through you and me. He's not going to just drop himself in your office. He chose you. And he's pouring himself into you. I used the example several places, but I used it in Malaysia quite a bit in the different groups we were speaking with. He wants you to be like a sea sponge. He wants you to be in his presence at your family and personal altar, getting so filled up that when he picks up that sponge, you're just oozing, like my friend's hand was in the video, just oil flowing out of his hand. And then he takes you over here because this is the person, and he just squeezes you out. You ever see the big sea sponges? He just squeezes you out and there's nothing left, and you come back to your family and personal altar and he just fills you up again. And then he sends you on your next assignment. The more you allow him to pour you out, the more he will fill you up. The greater the manifestations of his presence will be through you. See, you are only one yes away from your destiny being fulfilled by God. Most of us stop just before we cross through the veil into the promise that we've been waiting for. The enemy puts up some little what if, and we stop just short of what we've been believing God for. That's why I'm thankful that these things are in the back of the bulletin. What if? No. When God does this, because remember Clem's word? We never cease knocking, we never cease asking, we never cease seeking. And Father says, man, they really believe me at my word. All of a sudden, portals open up and we get to walk through them. Some of you have heard me say this, but this year, this obstacle that's always been in my way may just be something I need to pick up and put in my tool bag for the next giant that I come across. Too often we've looked for ways around, over, under, or just plain stopped by the obstacles in our path, the path to our destiny. David so believed that the Lord could take down his giant that he reached into the stream, which means his destiny. And he picked up 5 stones because he knew Goliath was a family man and had brothers. Now, if you know the end of the story, David's nephews killed the brothers years later. But David so believed God, he picked up 5 stones just in case one of those other guys came out of the mountain after Goliath fell. That's the way we need to be. So believing God that whatever the obstacle is in our path, we'll pick it up and we'll use it as a tool against the enemy when the Lord says, this is what I've been preparing you for. Sometimes, like the butterfly in its cocoon, unless it pushes against that obstacle, it dies. And that's the picture of most of us. We're one yes away from the fulfillment of our destiny because we didn't push through that last obstacle. This year we're going to push through those obstacles. In 1 Kings 17, we see again Elijah. And when you study 1 Kings 17, you see that this year there's going to be a generation of prophets that rises up to speak into systems, nations, and territories. That's what we're beginning to see. That's what's taking place out in San Diego. This revival is being led by a couple. I can give you their names, but that's not important. They happen to be a young, late 30, early 40 prophet and prophetess. They happen to be so believing God that he's just moving on them all over the earth. And then one Sunday evening they were having a service and God showed up. And he told them to do it the next night and the next night and the next night. 8 weeks later, he's still doing it. And people are coming from around the world to get a piece of what the Lord is doing. These prophets are going to declare the word of the Lord wherever they go. They're going to be like the prophets of old that we read about in the Old Testament. They're going to be like Jesus. They're not going to care what the brood of vipers say. They're not going to care what the snakes say. They're not going to be crude or crass. They're just going to speak the word of the Lord. What does love do? Casts out all fear. When they speak the word of the Lord, God is love, they are setting up a platform for fear to be driven out of nations, territories, structures. We can be part of that. Some of you in the back row are part of that. Who, me? Yes, you. Don't limit yourself. Because when you limit yourself, you limit God. See, where this all took place in 1 Kings 17 was at the brook Cherith. Cherith means a place of cutting. we all think it's a real nice word, but it means a place of cutting or a place of separation. It comes from the primitive root Hebrew word karath, which means to cut asunder or by implication to destroy or consume. Specifically, to covenant with or make an allegiance with. Elijah went to a place where everything was cut away and he had to come into a relationship with the Lord that he did not yet have. How many of you are ready for a new relationship with the Lord? If his mercies are new every morning, how often should we expect a new relationship? Every morning. See, this will not be a proper a popular identity for these young prophets. Elijah wasn't too popular with the king, was he? Elisha wasn't too popular with some of the kings either. Was Jesus popular with the king? No. Do you care if you're popular with the king? You shouldn't. You shouldn't be crass. You shouldn't be crude. But the king's opinion is just one opinion out of 7.2 billion opinions, and only Father's counts. And if he sent you, it's his opinion that counts in the matter. Ahab called Elijah the troubler of Israel. Can't use him as an example, can I? He's not even paying attention. So, what do you care if they call you the troubler of Rochester? You know what Elijah's response was? No, you are the troubler of Israel. Because he had heard the word of the Lord. We serve the God of the generations, so it doesn't matter what they call us. He is the God who parts the seas. He is the God who makes the mountains tremble. He is the God who put every star in its place. I'll teach you about stars this spring too. Sometime. It's amazing what he's doing. Everything is his. So yes, it may do something to my soul, but he's given us deliverance for our souls. When people call me names, I think Lisa said it best. He's given me a thick skin and a compassionate heart. That's what Elijah had. That's what Jesus had. That's what this new breed of prophets has. They have Father's heart to love even those that rail against them. So this year, make sure you have faith in God. Because when you have faith in God and faithfulness toward God, he will do wonders in and through you. In Matthew 11:23, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him." Speak to the mountains. Prophetically, mountains are governmental structures. So when you see mountains in Scripture, they're talking about governmental structures. Speak to the mountain until it rains. How many times did Elijah have to speak before the cloud the size of a man's fist came? 7 times. We need to learn that perseverance to speak to that mountain, that governmental structure, principality, power, ruler, wickedness in heavenly places, whatever it's called. I'm not talking about the flesh. I'm talking about the spiritual battle. Because we're talking about governments tonight, and it's all about power confrontations in the spirit realm. One of the places we visited literally has a shaman, has a high-level witch with an office right underneath the mayor's office in the government building, paid for by the mayor to keep him in blessings. Fortunately, I have not been asked to address that. I've only been asked to give advice. And even if I were asked to address that, until he tells me to address it, I won't. Did you see that? We have authority when we go in because we've been invited in. But to address their principalities and powers, I have to have him say you've got authority to do it. We can teach them, we can train them because they have authority. They have the same authority we do. See, there's a blessing that the Lord wants to bring into your life until the rain comes. And that blessing is to persevere in his presence, to persist in his presence, to continue to do the things. I've had this written since early January. We just haven't had a chance to share it all. So every time we have a speaker come and they speak a piece of it, I say, oh, yeah, I can. That's persevering, pressing into the Lord. In Judges chapter 8, it's the story of Deborah and Barak. Remember that? Too many times, Barak gets the bad rap, guys, that he didn't want to go. But Barak understood Deborah's authority. And he understood his place and his position. That's key for this year, is we need to understand our place and our position and don't try to assume or presume that we can be moving in somebody else's role. See, when I understand my position in the battle, I understand whether I'm to be on the front line or I'm to be in the prayer tower or I'm supposed to be someplace else. But I could just be like JL. Ladies, you remember JL in this year? She drove the tent peg because she stayed where she was supposed to be. And a lot of times the women would help with battles. But she stayed where she was supposed to be. And the Lord just brought Sisera around and brought him thirsty. Be in the place the Lord wants you to be in this year. And then use what's in your hand. He's already put weapons of warfare in your heart. He's already given you gifts and talents in the natural. Use whatever he's placed in your hand. If you remember, several years ago I taught on the feeding of the 5,000. And one of the questions Jesus asked the disciples is, what is in your hand? Consider the things he's put in your hand. And then watch God move as you use them. Nimnati. It's a really big word. Nimnity. It means excess or overabundance. Psalm 27 talks about being in the secret place of the Most High God. We need to learn to live there this year. We need to learn how to dwell in the secret place. In verse 8 of Psalm 27, it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, will I seek. Jeremiah 29, everyone likes verse 11, but we're going to read 12 through 14. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes, and you will gather from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Hosea 6:3 says, yes, but let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to, and cherish him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn, and he will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. In Joel chapter 2, the Lord tells us that everything will be restored. I'm not going to go through it in detail, but in verses 23 through 28, he tells us to be glad and to rejoice because we're going to get the former and the latter rains. That means blessings and blessings and blessings. In verse 25, he says that he's going to restore the years. That means that we live under grace. And all of the mistakes that I've made, he can restore. And he is restoring. No limits. If the word but or if is whispered in your ear, turn around and say, Jesus purchased that. Take it up with him. There is no but, there is no if. Father is restoring the years that were lost. Even under grace, my mistakes can prosper. I've made many mistakes, but by the grace of God, he's turned them around. In verse 26, he tells us what our greatest test is, nimenity, abundance. This year and in the next 2 months, abundance is going to be made manifest. Do you know when the church turns away from God the most? When she has the answer to her prayer for her needs being met. When she has abundance, all of a sudden that family altar back there is forgotten. I've got everything I need. Oh, God answered my prayer. And here they are 6 months down the road, and they haven't gone back to that place of intimacy. Remember the story of the 10 lepers that were healed? It was the unbeliever that went back and thanked him. Because those that were comfortable expected it. An attitude of gratitude brings the presence of the Lord. The greatest test that we're going to face this year is when he starts to answer our prayers. When he answers your prayer, keep trusting him and move forward. Ask him why he's given you the abundance. Ask him why he's given you the favor. Ask him why he's given you the increase. Because there's probably something he wants you to do in stewarding that for him. In verse 27, Joel tells us that wisdom or the fear of the Lord is coming back to the body of Christ. By the way, in Isaiah 11, verse 2, the seventh manifestation of the Spirit of God, the sevenfold Spirit of God, is the fear of the Lord that is coming back on the body of Christ. If you are moving with the Lord, you're going to move in his presence, but you're going to have that same awesome, reverent awe of who he is. Fear that here is the one that made everything, that keeps everything working. Here's a piece of science for you. Astrophysicists now openly say that Carl Sagan was wrong. And if you don't know what that means for 30 years, they refused to speak anything against Carl Sagan and all the other astrophysicists that say there is no God. That there are other forms of intelligent life out there. They now realize through all the advanced scientific methods, God said it. I created the heavens and the earth. They now realize that all of those other potential solar systems, potential suns, and potential earths don't exist because they have the wrong chemical composition to support life. How amazing that some of the smartest minds Father has created are now starting to realize that the first book, the first chapter, has some truth that is still being proven, that will put the holy, reverent fear of the Lord into you. When you meet him and he's the one that put the earth right at the proper angle. You know, if it was tipped 1 degree, one way or the other, we'd either freeze or we'd fry. You know, if there wasn't 23% nitrogen in the atmosphere, we'd blow up. It's amazing. You know what else is going to happen? You know what Job 22:28 says? He's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. It didn't happen in the upper room. It was only poured out on 120 Jewish believers. This is yet to happen. We're about to move into the time where he pours out his spirit on all flesh. This year, like never before, we need to know who Jesus is. We need to know what he created us to do, and then we need to do it. As we started tonight, we said that the currency of the house is to know who he is. Father, I ask that this year, starting tonight, you would give us each deeper revelation of who you are. That you would reveal to us the height and the breadth and the depth of your love. That you would reveal to us a greater intimate understanding of Jesus and your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would take us beyond every religious obstacle that was put in our path. And you would take us to a place of great faith. And Lord, I ask that you would impart to each of us greater measures of the fruit and the gifts of your presence, so that what you desire us to move into, wherever you desire us to move, we will freely release the thing you have given us to release, and you will see a harvest for your glory. Father, I thank you that you have created us in your image and your likeness. And I say, Lord, take us deeper into the things of your presence. Take us deeper into the things of your character, so that what comes out of us in difficult times is the sweet aroma of your presence. Lord, give us faith to believe you at your word. And let great faith be made manifest through each of your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love you all. Remember.